Welcome back, Upstate Empire Fitness fam. I am here with Terry Nelson and Dana Siriano. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Sundays Bakery. You can find them on Instagram at Sundays_Bakery. The largest stuffed chocolate chip cookies I've ever seen in my entire life. It's literally the size of my face.
And absolutely delicious and so moist. I don't know who hates that word. I know someone does, but they are moist.
We're sorry. They are super moist. And we actually just had them for my son's birthday. We skipped the cake. He's not a cake eater. He loved the chocolate chip cookie. He was like literally in a coma after. It was incredible.
Did he try all of them?
I think I had a double play. That's what that's the one he chose.
That's a good one.
Yep. Oh, it's fantastic. I had one with an Oreo inside of it. Mm-hmm. I only eat a half of it. I'm like, nah.
It's like enough. They're filling.
They are fantastic. Yeah. Speaking of, and you know what? No one actually asked me if I should be eating that cookie or not. If you guessed it, today's episode, we're talking about diet shaming, fit shaming, fat shaming. I love talking about these things because I've actually experienced all aspects of what we're about to talk today, being fat or being out of shape, okay, being called a dad bod or whatever. Although I can rock it now. I'm a dad. It's official. I can do it. And I've also had people speak to me about my diet before and after I was actually watching my calorie intake. And then the fit shaming too. Felt a little bit of that. A little bit less than, quote me if I'm wrong, do women feel they've gotten fit shamed more than men?
In my experience, I felt that I got fit shamed after, like, when I was, quote, the most fit. So it's like people never said anything to my face, and now all I hear about
I guess what do you define
you
as the most fit?
Terrible.
Like lean or?
When I was extremely lean.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know that I would consider that the most fit. I wasn't lifting, you know, as much as I have on other times. And even like being fit, there were certain things I could do, couldn't do, et cetera. But people nowadays, they're like, you looked terrible. I'm like,
thank you.
Thank you. I don't remember asking.
Thank you. You're an asshole. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And if you're going to talk about gender, I definitely, most of my experience with fit shaming has been women fit shaming other women. I haven't really seen any men fit shaming too much or women fit shaming the men.
I've heard a few, and these are generally people that are outside the industry or the lifestyle, if you will, saying this girl has too much muscle, yada, yada. I'm like, what? Like, are you okay? Whatever you say. Because you, after seeing women have, you know, incredible amounts of muscle mass, and maybe not everyone's cup of tea in terms of like what my aesthetic, like what my physique would look like or want to look like. But to start judging and just throwing out these just nasty comments, like, hold on. Like, who are you to say, you know?
I feel like a lot of girls will comment to other girls, she looks like a man.
Yes. You know,
her upper body looks like a man. And not only that, but like they're commenting or saying this in reference to like pictures on social media, even though people don't look like that when they're just walking around.
And I've noticed a lot of females speaking to other females about a third female's appearance. So
right.
I think it's more geared towards females, not exclusively, but that's the vibe I get.
I think if anything with guys, they're more so just talking about like what they find attractive. I don't think it's necessarily shaming.
Like, what do they want to look like? Or if they're like if it's a guy, it's a lot bigger. I'm like, he's on gear. He's taking drugs. Like, okay, buddy, like whatever you say, you know? But yeah, that, and I don't see him out of like shaming as much as I hear just, you know, walking through the gym or whatever, or not even walking through the gym, just like hearing, you know, in passing. Women shaming other women, or what it's from, I don't know. I think
jealousy.
Jealousy. Where does it come from? I think that's a quick. I feel like that's the first thing most people would do. Would jump to that as a jealousy thing. But it, you know, what could it be? Like, do you just thrive on drama?
No.
Yeah.
I think it's the false interpretation that being active and healthy are morally wrong based on solely appearance, and resulting in the assumption that fit people are shallow or attention seeking. So I think it's assumptions. Yeah,
the assumption of like when you see someone as, okay, what's fat? Like, I feel like when I talk about this, I feel like there's a lot of context that needs to be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. First of all, who's saying it? Is it someone that actually goes to the gym and works out? Is it someone that has never walked or stepped foot into a gym or doesn't live that lifestyle that the other person does? Because context is kind of critical, because if you have a girl that's coming to the gym or a male that's coming to the gym, they're bashing someone else. But they're still into fitness. that is kind of strange to me. It's kind of common for what you're stating is for someone who's never walked into a gym, like they're shallow, they care about themselves, they're low lives, blah, blah, blah. But little do you know that our primary goal is to what? Get to the age of 80 and not have to rely on medications to keep me alive or keep me healthy because I've taken care of myself throughout my younger years.
Well, here's the thing. Being overweight can be unhealthy. Being fit and possibly too obsessed with that can be unhealthy. So it's like everything is bad depending on how you look at it. So what is good? You know what I mean?
But if someone's going to rattle off at me and saying, you shouldn't be doing that, that's unhealthy behaviors. Okay. Obesity is, but you don't see me screaming every obese person because right. I know I don't want them to right. start going down to Sam. You're like, okay, this person that's in shape yelled at me. And no, that, we're not doing that because we want to encourage them to live healthier versus themselves. Because
then you would be a bully.
Right. And if that's what you want to do and you want to live that way, but like don't live that way and then say fit people are terrible. Like, no, like you want to live your life and that's what you want to do. Fantastic.
Well, the fact is being muscular or being overweight, they are both absolutely choices. So I think the safest assumption is when you look at somebody, they're choosing to be the way that they are. So before you speak to someone and make a judgmental statement, assume that that's the way they intend to be. So if you know, for whoever was speaking to you that way, what if this is how you like to look? What if this is your desired result? And right. so you're so proud of this and now someone's saying, oh man, you looked better.
I also think too that like the type of comments that people make, it correlates with maybe where they are in their life or where their body composition is. So I feel like someone without any experience in the gym is going to make just outright like you look terrible statements. Whereas someone who's maybe in the gym has been very lean or has gained weight or has done both or just knows a little bit more, they nitpick a little bit more. Her shoulders are too broad. Her back is too broad. Her legs are too big. And I truthfully don't know what's worse. They're both extremely insulting.
Right.
It is. It's an insult when you start fit shaming anybody. It's just like,
because on the opposite end, so I...
Because it's critical of the nature of bodybuilding or people that are in that realm of it. Again, I want to separate this because people that come here for general fitness and there's people that go to the gym for... bodybuilding and probably whatever, there's a whole group of different people. The difference is that you start finding that people are into like, you know, body transformations or like the aesthetic, the appearance part of this, are a little more critical of themselves than others. Why? I mean, that's what their minds are driven towards, right? They're looking at this and just because someone puts body weight on or takes body weight off doesn't necessarily mean they're unhappy. That was probably their intention.
It's so funny that you worded it that way because in preparing for the podcast, I looked up weightism and some of the, you know, resources that are out there. So weightism is comprised of two components. It's your attitude towards body size and the standards you hold yourself and others to. So even when you're talking about your, you know, your bodybuilders or your power lifters or whatever, it's still weightism, isn't it? Because you're saying, you know, this is my attitude towards body size and I hold myself and others to that judgment, basically.
Right, right. It's pretty normal. Like, I know that I've hung out with bodybuilders that are a little bit more, you know, obsessed over or focused on making changes to certain body areas of their body, right? That's the one thing. Like, I got to bring my rear delts up, got to bring my calves up. You know, my lats and my lower lats could definitely be a little bit thicker. Abs, obliques, yada, yada, yada. And I hang out with my powerlifting friends like, I just went in at 290. I'm hitting 300 next week. So as far as the body thing goes, definitely different, more performance-based. And that's why I enjoy both communities, because both communities for me equal sustainability, especially when you're in long off-season, you're trying to gain weight intentionally, but your primary driver is what? Performance in the gym. That's what's going to add muscle, not you slabbing as much food as you in your face as you possibly can and say you're bulking. No, that's not what's going to happen. Nick, you need calories to support growth, but you need performance. So I like those. I love both lifestyles. It's awesome to be able to, you know, and again, when people start saying like, oh, you put weight on, I'm like, yeah, like, okay, you've noticed. Where the people come like, Brian, you look skinny. Like, oh, son of a bitch.
Hate that,
yeah. How dare you? I'm going back. I'm putting a hoodie back on.
What drives someone to make a comment in the first place?
Well, I think there's a misunderstanding of what your desired outcome is in some cases. So I know
context.
For me, context, because I always want to appear larger And people come to me and they say, oh, you know, you're so tiny in person. And it's like, oh,
excuse me?
Soul crushing every time, you know, because they, to them, they think that that's a compliment. But to me, that is not a compliment.
So I'll have to, I have to admit, I said that about Dana Lynn Bailey. Because when you see her in person, she looks massive, like in pictures. Then you see her in person, it's like, I think you guys actually might be the same height, Terry. I mean, so when you see someone in person, like, oh, wow, like, but by no means am I saying she's not muscular. Like, nah, she's definitely jacked.
But would you walk up to her and say, wow, you're so tiny in person?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, I know not to make a judgment on anyone's appearance, because I definitely, like, so it's skewed for me, and I'm sure it's skewed for you guys too, because people ask me all the time, like, how do you not, like, look at someone's body in a certain way? It's like, I'm constantly, like, looking at them in a source of, like, okay, if they were a client, that's how you look at someone's physique. But never do I say what I'm thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like an analysis. Okay. It is not a judgmental analysis. I'm not saying, like, I don't have an emotional response to when I look at someone's physique. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whereas other people have emotional responses. I'm like, oh, look at, she's, you know, she's overweight and she's eating that. Or, oh, she's lean. Oh, she doesn't eat anything other than almonds and chicken. It's like, okay, there's an emotional response there. For me, it's not. And I'm sure it's for you guys too. Unless someone's yelling at you, like, can't lose weight. And then they fail to make the proper lifestyle changes. Then it's like, okay, like, you need intervention.
Well, I think direction. We talked about in a prior podcast about judgment detox. I think you read mm-hmm. it too.
Yeah.
So when we are judging others, a lot of times that's coming from something about ourselves that we're ashamed of.
Start with you,
right? Yes. So, you know, when you have the people that feel that it's okay to make these comments to other folks, you know, that could be coming from that place.
I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with, is that something in their life is not where they want it to be.
I would say 9 times out of 10, it is that. And if you even look at how people are in other aspects of their life, not even just how they, the comments that they make towards people that are, you know, maybe fit or not fit, but even in the way that they just treat people, there's a common denominator, and it's almost like a lack of respect for other people. And it comes from within because they're insecure about something of their own.
You use the word I was hoping you would use. There's a great book out there called Body Respect. So you referenced respect. And one of my favorite quotes from it is, we don't have an epidemic of obesity. Our epidemic is one of judgment, bias, and hyperbole. And so to me, that's really boils down to whether it's fat shaming or fit shaming. The problem isn't what you see in terms of someone's physique. The problem is how you view it.
Right. It's interesting.
And even talking, so I work with people, obviously there's a lunchroom, so I see people eating lunch, and there's this kid that we work with. I shouldn't say a kid. He is a kid to me because he looks a lot younger than he is, but he eats like a whole pizza at a time. People bring in half moons. He has like maybe 6. Someone brought in donuts today. He like daylight donuts, big. He had, I think, maybe 3, eating chips and hot sauce, like all in a day. And he's probably like 140 pounds, like
Bravo.
5'11". And no one will ever say anything to him like, oh, you're skinny, you need to eat. But then it's the same as, you know, someone that's obese, and then they're in the lunchroom and they might be eating something that's not healthy for them. Or even if they're eating a salad, you know, it's people make that judgment in their mind and they won't say it. So I don't understand where people find that it's okay to say things to, you know, people that are fit or too skinny in their eyes or too muscular in their eyes. But then in circumstances like that, where you get someone who's maybe an anomaly, or just you think that I'm going to sound flat out rude if I say that. And you know what I mean?
I don't know what causes it.
I think there's a lot of different approaches. Go ahead, Terry.
I was going to say, I don't know what causes it, but I think one of the most valuable things we can offer our listeners is the chance to determine if you are one of these judgmental assholes. So I actually have a list here of symptoms. All right. So if you're listening and you want to know, are you a judgmental asshole? Here's how you can tell. Inner feelings of superiority in comparison to others. Making jokes about others in the public or in media. Feeling that it's necessary to comment on another person's body. Teasing others in an attempt to be funny. Allowing others to tease people in an attempt to be funny. Viewing weight as an attribute of success, happiness, or self-control. I think a lot of people are guilty of that one. We see people, and because they look a certain way, we think that equals success, happiness, or a lack of self-control, or whatever the case may be. There's a whole list of them, but basically, this is a good one. Make assumptions about personal character or morality based on appearance or size. So, you know, if you find yourself having any of those thoughts, that's a warning sign.
I bet you're all feeling like a bunch of assholes right now listening to this podcast.
Sorry.
Everyone raise your hand.
Sorry.
No, very good points right there, Terry.
There's a common denominator.
Exactly. It's all
lack of respect for others, you know, feelings of insecurity with yourself, sense of entitlement even with yourself.
Yeah.
Addressing those, another story. Those are deep seated. For me, I feel like those are just deep, like dark things that people they're not going to talk about with people, obviously.
Well, that's self-improvement. That's the beauty of it all. So like, let's say you listen to that
list. You still
have
the opportunity to change.
You can change. Yeah.
And maybe even someone just hearing that, Terry, just saying, you know what? You know what? Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Right.
By just refraining from thinking that way, you can alter your mindset on things.
Right. And I don't think that obviously this podcast is about fit and fat shaming, but that could be for anything.
That's anything. Yeah, it's anything. Yeah.
If you find yourself having those thoughts about anything, that's your warning sign, and now you can change.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys I'm without sin when it comes to this topic. Like, I've had a lot of self-reflection on comments I've made where I didn't think were a big deal, and I'm like, okay, someone can take that out of context, or maybe I'm just being a blatant asshole about it, and I like to look at things from all different angles now before I even pass a judgment, because you have this natural judgment that every single person has. But if you're going to rely on that judgment to base how you're going to, communicate with somebody or, whatever.
Right. Like,
that's an issue.
How would I feel if I was on the receiving end of this? How would that make me feel?
Right.
So do I really want to say this?
Well, the question is, ask yourself, what does this judgment say about me?
Right.
So if I'm going to make a comment about Dana's physique, what is that saying about me and how I feel
about
mine?
Are you okay with everyone else knowing your opinion?
Well, sadly.
Well, yes, you are. But I'm saying, yes. I think the question is, are you okay being open and public about this? And I mean, I see it. People with like Facebook pages.
I was just
with your names right out there, just flinging these comments. I'm like, wow. And I've never had an issue as far as social media, but I've seen clients. My wife, Alyssa, has dealt with it. You guys have dealt with it on a public platform. Someone's willing to come out there and say something like just ugly.
And what do they get out of that? I don't think they get anything aside from maybe a sense of superiority or feeling like they have the upper hand because they're bullying.
Yeah.
The sense of superiority was the very
first
symptom.
Exactly. Yeah, the first thing you said, right? Yeah.
Of being an asshole. So if that's the case, then.
I feel like too, that as we become, like, I feel like as a society, we're not allowed to pass judgment to the point where we're starting to normalize, like, people in poor health or they're not taking care of themselves.
You just turn a cold shoulder.
Because you're not allowed to. But it's like, okay, there's one thing of, like, shaming someone. But there's also somebody, like, pushing somebody, like, hey, like, that someone I care about, like, you should definitely take care of yourself a little bit better. Like, the things you're doing now are going to affect you long term. Then you get to the point where you're 50, 55, 60, and you're backpedaling because you have medical issues that you didn't address the behaviors that were going to ultimately cause this.
That's a really tough one, and I'll tell you why. In my immediate family, I'm the only one who's not overweight. So, like, my brother has sleep apnea. Both of my parents had a lot of health conditions. That's a really tricky subject to approach with somebody.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I really don't address it with my family. I just, I try to encourage them when they make good choices and compliment them when they do all the right things. And the rest of the time I keep my mouth shut, because you really don't want to destroy those relationships.
Right.
And it's like, you know that you are coming from a good place and, you're just having concern for them and you want the best for them. But I also think people that are overweight or obese, they are maybe depressed, anxious, insecure. So they feel that you're attacking them. They feel that you're making fun. You're passing judgment. And it doesn't matter how you explain it. They can't get past, they're judging me. They're thinking about my weight. They're judging me. And well, like you said, it is really difficult.
That, and I guess when it's someone that you're close with, and this is why I agree with you, if someone really cares about you, they don't make these comments to you. When it's someone that you really care about, you don't just see a person who's overweight or who has health conditions. You also see someone who's funny and creative and yeah. who likes to cook. You know, you see all those lovely things too.
To rebuttal on that is that I agree with you, and I think that's a conversation that's difficult to have. But like my family knows me, and I just, for some reason, I just love difficult conversations because I like getting over it. And like, hey, listen, like if, for example, I had a family member that, say my brother, we've had these conversations in the past, it's kind of just between him and I, like, listen, like, I care about you, I love you, but like this lifestyle, like you have to change this because this is not going to be a good path. It's not going to be a good path, and you're young enough to make these changes. So things like that. Obviously, does Brian sound like a little bit of a dick when he says it? Maybe, but it's not like anything people didn't know. But like, I'm coming to you as like, I'm not judging or shaming you or anything like that, but I want you to be aware of like these choices, because if you're not, like, you're not untouchable. We can all develop elevated cholesterol. We can all have high blood pressure. We can all have cardiac disorders at a very young age. If I have treated people in the age of 30, 31 who have had cardiac events, have had heart attacks. That's scary.
I can't
tell
you.
That's scary. We're going to see more and more of this too.
Patients I have had, we have a sheet that goes around as they go between pre-op, the OR, PACU, post-op, with just like a brief medical history so you don't have to look in the computer. And I'll see this med list. They're on insulin or anti-diabetic medications. They're on blood pressure medications, cholesterol. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Crazy.
And I'm like, they're freaking 28.
And no, it's not just big pharma, because guess what? People are out of shape. And America's statistics and U.S. statistics could tell you that. And now why we're normalizing, and you see, you know, God forbid someone that's in shape is saying like, listen, don't fit. My first response is don't ever fit shame me or anyone that I know. Because if you're going to put like, oh, you're being in fit, saying any negative thing about being in shape, well, let's talk about obesity, because that's an uncomfortable conversation. And I'm very much willing to say, yeah, people need to not be obese. Why? Because one, how about this, today's coronavirus? One, you're more likely to die if you have coronavirus. Two, atherosclerosis. You're going to develop, you're going to have a heart attack, a blood clot anywhere, pulmonary embolism, a stroke, you know. So there you go. That's an issue with obesity. So don't fit shame me because I'm being, you know, because you think that I'm just into myself. Sorry about the rant. I just got really emotional about that. Because like, that means
all very good points. No, and I couldn't agree more.
It's a good point. But you know what? Like for, you know, with my dad and his recent weight loss that he's been really successful
with. Kudos to him too. That was awesome.
Dad's doing a good job. But one of the conversations that we had, you know, my dad, I didn't want him to think I was criticizing, but my dad's, he's really into like E-Trade and finances and all that. And one time we talked about the cost, the monetary cost associated with being overweight. Because you have all these.
Did that resonate with them?
It did.
Yeah.
Because there's all these maintenance prescriptions you have to take, follow-up mm-hmm. doctor's appointments. I mean, these things are not inexpensive. And on top of that, you know, he's fortunate enough to have me around. But if he wanted to lose weight on his own, he would have to hire a trainer and a coach and all that. And there's more money. So,
right. You
know, I think that it depends on who you're having the conversation with. But you you can proposition it in different ways.
If he's an analytical person, I mean, that's fantastic. You're able to get someone that avenue. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it makes sense for them.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. Medical bills are expensive, which is one of the things, like the driving factors for Alyssa and I is one, by the time we're 80, we hope to not be on any medications. That's the goal.
It's a good goal.
Maybe a few for wellness only.
It's a good goal.
That's it.
But you know what's interesting is when you look back, you know, when people make comments, when we're talking about aesthetics, when people make comments that are based solely on aesthetics, that's extremely comical to me, because if you look back in history, all the different desirable body types, like ancient Egypt, they want slim and narrow shoulders. Ancient Greece, they want you kind of plump with fair skin. The 20s, it was flat chest.
It's all subjective.
Yeah, it's all subjective anyways, and it changes. It's subject to change.
Exactly. Everyone want to look like Arnold. Then next, you know, everyone want to look like the people on Twilight. You ever see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will never be in. No. There's pale that looks good on some people, but that's a bit much.
Some of us don't have a choice, Dana.
Yeah, but you are not Twilight pale. You are absolutely not. They are like fluorescent. I have a lot of patients, though, that are according to the BMI chart, you know, everyone's overweight.
BMI is kind of, yeah, right.
But even like looking like at body composition, a lot of the patients that I get are overweight or obese and they have all of these medical problems. And an ongoing conversation that I have with people, and it really upsets me, and I don't know why, because it doesn't hit close to home. And I don't know if it's because I feel like I have to, you know, save them or something because I'm a nurse, but diabetics that are non-compliant, they come in fasting and their blood glucose in the morning is 2-something. I'm like, you've been fasting since midnight. And they're like, oh, I don't care. I'm like, so you don't care if you go blind, if you lose a leg, when you have a heart attack, when you have a stroke.
All your chances are increased.
And they're like, I don't care. They're like, let it happen.
That to me, like, that's just like, there's a lack of self-love there.
Yeah.
There is. To put yourself in that position, like, that's crazy.
And I almost think a lot of people feel like they can't reverse, and they realize that it takes effort and it takes, you know, a lot of time, and they just feel that they'll never get there. So it's a lot easier for them to just say, eh, whatever.
Because the result and other things is not going to come, even when on a fat loss phase, something very simple. But the results of that aren't going to come quick.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like my mother actually put this on public so we can talk about it. But she was on blood pressure medications for a very long time. And generally, most people don't come off blood pressure medications, right? So I mean, some people do. And I remember she was working. We were doing her diet. She's losing a bunch of weight. She was killing it. I think we're like 6 or 7 months into this thing. I mean, she's just right a dead on. I mean, I remember her saying, I'm getting really like lightheaded, dizzy, everything else. He goes, but I think it's because of my blood pressure medication. So
her blood pressure was
tanking. Yeah, it was going too low. She was taking too much. So, you know, stops taking for about a few weeks, goes to check up, has blood pressure's fine.
That's amazing.
Takes her off blood pressure medication. I mean, that's a win.
Yeah.
You know, that's a win. One, she's not spending money on blood pressure medications. And two, obviously she's reducing the chance of a cardiac event. Or any cardiovascular event at all, you know. So I mean, it's a wonderful thing to see. Like, I think those stories for me in watching people going from, you know, losing 150 pounds, I mean, those are amazing things, because you know what it's actually doing for this person.
And stories like that are a great way to reach people that you want to influence. So, you know, I used to share that stuff when my mom was still around. I would share, you know, oh, look at these stories, you know, J-Hugs.
Sure.
Stuff like that. I would share that with her and just, you know, portray weight loss in a positive light to kind of try and inspire a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely inspirational. I mean, I also feel that people have gone to, you know, bodybuilding show. I think that's wicked inspiration too, just to know their journey and what they went through. But more inspirational than that is the journey outside of those things, like coming off those and see if we can sustain that lifestyle underneath when you're in those extreme conditions. And then still want to be a part of the lifestyle afterwards. I think those for me are like, man, that's great. You know, you've maintained it. You've done all aspects of fitness, mm-hmm. and you still love, and you still maintain that love for yourself and for fitness in general. So,
have you guys ever had comments like coming off of a show from as you're just maintaining, you're trying to get back to, you know, a normal amount of calories or even above that, people that aren't into fitness and nutrition say, what are you still dieting for? Because they just don't get it.
Yep, absolutely. That and after my pro debut, I gained a fair amount of weight back pretty quickly, and I had people make comments about that. I don't know. I think the way to combat that is just to be really transparent. And if you're actually doing a reverse diet, to say this is to put weight back on slowly and healthfully. And if you don't reverse diet and you gain a ton of weight back, just say, hey, I had enough. I'm human.
I did. Yeah, I did. I did. I've reversed dieted a few times. And after my prep, I just said I wasn't going to reverse diet. And I've talked about this in the past. And I was like, I'm not going to reverse diet. What I'm going to do is recovery diet. But I am still tracking like protein, necessary things. So for me, it was more like I set my calories at, you know, 60% of what I thought I should be consuming, but I kept my protein where my minimum requirement was. So I knew that, okay, if I came across something I wanted to eat, guess what? I'm going to eat it. Because I couldn't wait to put body fat on. And I've said this numerous, numerous times. And again, not everyone shares the same sentiment. They want to stay lean or whatever it might be. And I've done the reverse diet thing. Probably the first reverse diet I did was super easy, simple. I was amazed by the process. Second one was just normal, steady. I was just dieting, no big deal. And the third one I did was really freaking challenging. Really challenging.
Was that your post-show?
No. Porsche was just recovery. Came after the one before I went actually into like a lean gaining phase for, I think I was like almost 2 years of in a lean gaining phase, which is basically just, I was actually tracking. I was tracking rigidly for 2 years, give or take some flexibility. Like if I wanted a slice of pizza, I'd eat it. Like, but with our lifestyle it wasn't difficult. You know what I mean? And I don't even think I was drinking alcohol at the time too. I think I had kind of just ixnayed. I didn't really care for it. Like I'd have like a glass of wine or something like that, or maybe like a gin and tonic when we're out, but it was never like I wasn't at home having it. Like I was done quarantine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a little easier to maintain a pretty a relatively tight body composition. But yeah, no, I think the reverse process again for me is inspirational to watch people go through it. So I don't know about you guys.
And even just seeing, excuse me, like how their mentation transforms. Because I think a lot of people, maybe this is a podcast or a topic for a different time, but their mentation changes, they're afraid of food, and then they see all the positive changes that they're making when they're making the right choices.
Exactly. So I have one person now. I have one person now that I won't even, and I don't think she's nervous about because I think she loves the way she looks right now. But again, seeing how much she's eating now compared to where she started, where she's lean as she's ever been, but she's eating more than when she started because she's just, her body's just absorbing these calories, and she's, she also started at a point where her work capacity was actually pretty low in the gym. So to see where her work capacity is now compared to the calories is, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But again, she's one of those people like, I don't know what she should eat this. And it's like her carbohydrates are over 400. And I'm like, listen, every single day I want you to take one meal where you don't track it. Whew, done. All right. We got a few people that we do that with. But one's like, okay, I want you to do one meal where you just don't track it. Eat it. Eat what you want. Whatever, I don't care if it's chicken parmesan and you fried it in oil, like, just eat it. I mean, in moderation, don't eat a whole pan. You know, you should still have some moderation. So those are little stories that, you know, again, because they're nervous about losing track, you know, where they were. Mm-hmm. Without getting off too off kilter here.
I know.
But, I mean, like, to address the question, yeah, I think people do question you on changes that they notice in your physique. I mean, it doesn't really ruffle me too much. I just stay transparent. But then now that we're having this podcast and I'm thinking about it, like, yeah, it is kind of funny that they feel comfortable asking me that. But then again, I don't know how much of that is because they know that, you know, like, we coach. They know right. that I coach. So maybe they're just asking me to ask. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're looking for perspective because you see, I mean, like, people, obviously people see, we see things a little bit different than other people do. And obviously we're a little bit more not as judgmental as the average person.
Right. Because we might ask these things, but we come from a place of we are just genuinely curious and want to know. Right. And it's not meant to be judgmental or belittling or even bullying.
No,
so it makes me want to ask people now when they're asking questions like that, or even if I witness it, ask, why are you asking me this?
Yeah, now you've put the thought in my head. I wish I could go back.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah, because I was asked about it after my pro debut. Like, man, you know, you kind of gained some weight back. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to gain weight back. I don't care. I'm not reverse dieting. But now I kind of wish I would have said, oh, just why are you curious?
Yeah, like what are you actually asking?
Yeah.
What are you actually saying?
Yeah, missed that chance.
Yeah, I think it depends on the person. So if I had someone that came off that wasn't into that lifestyle at all and asked me, like, I feel like it was like a dig at me to say, like, oh, see, it wasn't that great, was it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. See, that's why I don't do it. Like, still was an awesome event. And a matter of fact, you know, I feel awesome now. Again, it's a twisted lifestyle. I think bodybuilding is a twisted lifestyle, and I think people have to understand that before I ever even get involved with it. To an extent, I say that for the general population. When you're into it, I enjoy it, and I think that for me, it's a test of my willpower. That's how I see it, and I think it's a test of willpower, and it's totally an internal thing too. It's an internal driver for me. So for anyone. So when I watch someone go through, I'm like, man, I know what you're going through right now. And that kind of motivates me, and it's not really for anyone else. And, you know, that's anyone that makes a judgment on that, like, oh, you're going to do it for, I mean, there's people that do it for Instagram, but
that's maybe. not an invalid reason.
True. There's right. You're right.
Maybe a sense of just having to prove themselves even.
If you're thinking instantly, it's only for that. It's like, no, yeah. I mean, it's for that too. I mean, listen, you want to inspire somebody, you feel good about yourself, and you're kind of get a pat on the back by, you know, how many followers you have. I can see in that sense.
Yeah, but I don't really look at it that way. So if I know a lot of people that when you look at it, it's like, oh, they're doing it for the gram. That's it. But
maybe.
But in my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, but you know what? If they have an audience who's looking at that.
Captive audience.
And it could inspire positive change in those people. Yeah. I'm fine with you doing it for the gram if it could be helpful to someone.
Or even keep you on track and keep you motivated and keep you inspired.
I'll tell you right now, I found that I could actually go through a body transformation like I did from Instagram. When Instagram wasn't even, I didn't even know. I thought it was a photo editing app. Dead serious. And I found this guy from Colorado, and he doesn't like do bodybuilding or anything like that, but I watched him go through like 120-pound weight loss, and he had like a surgery and everything else. And he was like, when you looked at it, like, there's no way. There's no way this happened without any use of kind of chemicals or something like that. No way. Fast forward 3 or 4 years, I think, from that time. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, people are kind of saying the same thing about me. And then I've seen the thing about the people that I've helped. I'm like, it's not a secret. It's literally just routine, discipline, and adherence. That's
it. And finding what works for you. Because even talking like different types of diets that people follow, like keto is really big right now. There's quite a few doctors that I work with.
Really?
Yeah. That do it, and it works great for them, and they can adhere without an issue. But then you get people, which I am someone where if it works for you, that's great. If someone asked me about it, I would give my honest opinion. Honestly, it's not for me, and I don't think it's for a lot of people. But even just, you know, realizing that, like, it's not like one size fits all. Like, people can do things differently and still achieve results, and who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares how they're doing it?
Right. Brian got his chance to rant. I mean, I'll just give my rant real quick. So this is my only rant, you know, because this one applies to me personally. The one thing when it comes to fit or fat shaming that I really have an issue with is fit people shaming other fit people. So this happened to me back in 2017. I won't go into the details, but it was a real life-changing experience for me because people who were doing the exact same thing that I was doing sure had a lot of conversations about me behind my back about what I was doing to stay fit, which was the exact same thing that they were doing. And that's kind of when I realized, A, you don't need people like that in your life. And B, when we make judgments about other people, we're talking about ourselves here.
Yes.
That's what it boils down to.
Don't talk shit. Moral of the story. Seriously, don't. Especially to other people. Like, you got opinions, just keep them right upstairs in your head. Keep them right there.
And if you have opinions about other people, don't put them in a text message because people will screenshot that shit.
Yes, they will. Yep, and they will send it.
They will send it.
They will save it forever.
Yep.
I always think back to kindergarten, and Mrs. Enders was my kindergarten teacher, and there was a sign on the wall, and I think it was yellow, and it was like, treat others the way you wanted to be treated. And that's something that I think about in all of my actions, all of my conversations, every single thing that I do. And it seems so normal. And when you experience something like you did, Terry, it's like, how the fuck don't people think like that?
You know what, though? I'll be honest. I wasn't perfect in those relationships either. I made a lot of mistakes, too. I don't think I deserved what I ended up getting. But yeah, you should treat other people the way that you want to be treated. It seems common sense, but we all fuck it up, don't we?
We've all done things we're probably not happy about, except for Dana, because she just said she's never done that. So,
well, I'm talking present. I'm not present, talking past.
We've all grown from mistakes that we've made. Again, that's why I say, and that's why I've said before, is I like to take on uncomfortable conversations because, one, we can grow from this.
Everything's a learning experience.
No one's right. We all do stupid things, and you know, and we say stupid things, and we hurt people's feelings. But we all have an opportunity to make it right,
to be better.
You can change your perception on other people, other body types, or whatever it may be, at any moment you choose. You guys got anything else?
My only thing is whether you're fit or fat shaming, disrespecting a person on the basis of appearance is an example of prejudice. So if you're doing this, especially with all the stuff that's gone on in 2020, we don't need more prejudice. So, you know, if this applies to you, cut the shit.
Yeah. Let's all be better human beings.
I agree with everything that is going on in 2020. And I was just going to say that, like, you would think people would want to be better, but it almost seems like as more things happening, we're just all more divided.
It's a shame.
It's very sad.
Guys, thanks again for listening. I think we're going to wrap it up here again from the Upton Power Fitness Studios. Oh. Brian Devins
Studio.
You like that?
I do.
You can follow me on my Instagram. It's Brian or Devs Brian. You can email us or email myself, Brian at upstandpowerfit.com. Dana, Instagram handle?
At DL Seriano. And then my email is dana@teamarenda.com.
TNH313220, Terry@upstandpowerfit.com.
One day I'm going to remember your handle here. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening.